Good morning, brethren. It's amazing. We've cycled around another year. We have the spring holy days next week. Night to be and first day of unleavened bread. It's just incredible how quickly things come around, how fast it happens each year. I think that we're all in the same boat, though. The last couple of months, the last few months, we've been rooting through our lives, been looking in those crevices, those nooks and crannies, trying to dig out all those things that we need to change in our lives, things that draw us closer to God, things that help us to make better decisions, things that draw us closer to God's Word and His plan. But as it happens, I think each year there can be those pre-Passover occurrences. You know, when you're in that process of rooting through your life and looking for those things to change, sometimes, you know, finding them's not so pleasant. There's always a tendency and a possibility that, you know, Satan wants to stir things up. He wants us to look at the things in our life and give us doubt, cause us to, you know, wonder why we haven't possibly progressed somewhere that we want to progress in. We may be saying to ourselves, you know, wasn't I praying about this last year? Have I made any progress on it? You know, little possibilities, little actions that can happen. You know, Satan just loves to stir up the pot, especially this time of the year. He doesn't want us to go in and have that spirit of renewal. He doesn't want us to take part in that service. He wants us to have doubt and to quit. And as we enter into these holy days, let's take a look at the words that God gave to Moses when he had doubt in himself, when he felt inadequate, when he wasn't sure that he was the man for the job. He just didn't know. He was reluctant in these things, that this incredible task that God put before him. So if you would, let's turn to Exodus 6. I can go ahead and give you the title to my message. The title to my message today is He Will. Capital H, He Will. If you turn to Exodus 6, let me give you just a little context. I know we all know this part of the Bible, but let me set up my message. And this is that part of the Bible where God had come to Moses, had given him these miracles, provided these miracles to take before Pharaoh, and Moses did, and all that he could have happen was to create a heartache on the Israelites. Pharaoh says, you have to make your bricks now without straw. And you can imagine the effect that that had on Moses, having this power given to him and having an outcome because of his inability or because of his lack of confidence. You know, I wanted to be in the moment. I tried to equate something in my life, in my business, that would maybe help me to have a little closer kinship with Moses here. And I thought, well, you know, if I were to try to run my print shop without fountain solution, you know, that's the solution that allows the ink to transfer from the plate onto the paper, so I make the reproduction that I make for my customers. And I thought to myself, well, I could probably come up with something. I could use glycerin and alcohol and water, and I could mix a solution. I could probably get that to transfer the ink onto the paper, but I'd have to run my press so slow that it would probably take another shift or more to accomplish the same amount. You know, straw in the bricks, you think about that. Well, you know, what is the big thing with straw? It has a couple purposes. First, it's kind of like fiberglass. It creates some strength within that mixture. But it also helps in the drying process. You know, the straw is hollow. And then as it's set out in the sun and as it's drying, those tubes, those chambers that are in the straw help to remove the water and the fluids from the bricks so it can dry quicker. So, you know, Israelites are facing a couple of things here. They not only could only use the straw that they gathered, not the straw that the Egyptians provided for them, only what they could gather. So they only had a small percentage, but it was going to take even longer before they were usable. So, you know, this was quite an issue in following what Pharaoh had before them. You know, I can tell you this, if I had to add a shift at my shop to make the same amount of money that I was making, and I couldn't pay my employees for it, well, there would be mutiny on the bounty. There would be mutiny in the co-op. Or, you know, if you have a business or if you work for an employer, there would be mutiny and you fill in the spot. Right. Well, let's go ahead and look at our scriptures here. Exodus 6. And I'm just going to break into at verse 5. It says, "And I have also heard the groaning of the employees at the co-op print shop." Oh, wait a minute. It doesn't say that. Okay. It says, "And I have also heard the groaning of the employees at Superfine." All right. Enough foolishness. "And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore," and this is, of course, God talking to Moses. This has all happened. God come before Moses, and he said, "Therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and great judgments. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord." And as you were listening to this, you were probably in your mind, because we know what's happened here. We know the story. And this is, God talking to Moses before all the incredible miracles are about to occur with Israel leaving and so on. So, as I was reading that, you were probably in your mind, saying, check. God did that. Check. God did that. And as I went through those I wills, you were probably recognizing that, he held up his end. And it kind of reminded me of the great coach. It's halftime, the team is down. He's in the locker room at halftime and knows all the right words. Knows what to say to encourage, and he knows what to say to give confidence to the team. And if you go out in that second half and maybe a little rough, but if you do what I say, if you are obedient to what I say, then the outcome, it'll be victory. Those same promises I read, do you realize that those same promises are there for us today? All those promises, they apply to us today. And you ask yourself, how can that be? Those are promises. Those are physical occurrences that happened right then. Those are the miracles that we know, because we know the story. We know what happens. Now, how can those apply to us today? Let's look at verse 8. I just read it. It says, "And I will bring you into the land which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a heritage." As a heritage. I am the Lord. Brethren, we are that heritage. And even though those physical occurrences that happened with Israel, those same occurrences, those same things happen with us from a spiritual perspective. God is there for us. He will do those things for us. He will. If you remember, the Israelites, they went right up to the Red Sea. And we remember those, we remember all the words, we'd have stayed in Egypt. We'd at least have dirt to be buried in, If you remember all the issues and the Egyptians are at the horizon, and God performs this incredible miracle. He opens up the Red Sea for Israel and dries the land for them to go through. And Israel is going through the Red Sea, and there's water all around them. They're witnessing the impossible. They get to the other side. They're standing on the other bank, and here comes Pharaoh and the Egyptian soldiers, and they try to follow them across, and God just wipes them out. Gone. They're all over there. They have just been in bondage for centuries. And you can imagine, first, how humbling it would be because of the things that they said, and doubting the miraculous abilities of God, but also a sense of relief in knowing positively that they're free from the burdens and the bondage of Egypt. They're standing there and they just watched them disappear. You know, how many of us have said or have made this statement in our calling about God removing us from Egypt, you know, removing us from society and bringing us into this new life? You know, those same senses that we can imagine Israel had standing on that bank looking over the Red Sea are very paralleled to the very same feelings that we have when we're put under that water, when we take that journey up to the Red Sea, we take that journey up to baptism, and we're submerged in that water and we're brought back up a new person. Incredible miracle, huh? We have just been cleansed. We are out from underneath that burden. As long as we abide in God's rules, God's laws, we hold up our end of the bargain. Of course, we're counseled up to that point. We go through counseling. We know what we're in for. We know what's ahead. You know, sometimes it's a difficult journey. We know all the stories, and I know I'm paraphrasing things we already know, but I thought this would be a good step towards the spring holy days that we're going, things that we can remember, especially if we're in the midst of some things right now. I know that some of us are in the midst of some circumstances heading into the Passover. But you remember, you know, God was so fed up with Israel. He said to Moses, he says, listen, he goes, these people don't get it. I'm going to run the bloodline to my son through you. I'm done with them. But you know, Moses, he saw some redeeming qualities. Remember those scriptures that says, I will redeem you with outstretched arms? I was reading through those I wills, and he was talking about the things that he would institute. Well, these are things that are being instituted. And they do the same for us. You know, Moses interceded for Israel. Something he didn't have to do. He interceded for his people and said to God, he said, listen, remove my name from the book of life, but spare my people. What a great glimpse at who Moses was. Incredible, huh? An intercession like that, a statement like that, spare my people. Jesus Christ did the same for us. You know, he interceded. He gave his life for us. You know, he opened this incredible pathway to God in communications. He opened up this incredible pathway of forgiveness. You know, how many times, and each of us know this, could God just say, you know, I'm getting pretty tired of this guy. He just doesn't learn. He just won't change. But, you know, through the blood of Jesus Christ, we can go on our knees and we can be forgiven. You know, when we're forgiven, when God forgives us, it's a memory. It's history. He forgives us. It's no longer there. You know, I imagine, in a sense, we can feel how Moses was feeling in being so humbled as a result of this step that we took. You know, this forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ. And, you know, he saved us from sure destruction, just as the Israelites standing on the shores of the Red Sea with nothing but them and water and the Egyptians. He saved them from sheer destruction, just as he saves us. You know, the Israelites, they, as they were standing there, they've heard the words of Moses, and they know that just being where they're being, they're heading to this promised land, this land of milk and honey. And you know, there's a journey. We know the journey. It's a difficult journey. I just spoke of one of the incidences that where God was ready to just end it with them and begin that bloodline through Moses. But, you know, it's a journey that once they got through that water that surrounded them, that water that was completely in their midst, this beautiful symbolic circumstance that we parallel with baptism, they then are truly free from Egypt, from Pharaoh, just as we're free from the sins that we bore previous to our baptism. And we begin this journey to our promised land, to this thousand-year period, to this eternal inheritance this eternal life that God has and this incredible plan that He set out before us. Well, you might say, well, wait a minute. We went through all these promises, and that last one, we know that Moses, he wasn't allowed to go into the promised land. We know the story. Again, I'm just paraphrasing some things that we already know. But, you know, there's something here that we have to recognize, that these promises are God. You know, these are promises. These I wills. When God says I will, it's I will. It's a promise. So you might think, but Moses wasn't allowed to go in. Moses wasn't allowed to cross into. Well, if you remember in the New Testament, Christ rose Moses and Elijah to speak with them on some things. Things that were to be talked about. So technically, Moses was in the promised land. Well, I'm just, that's me talking here as far as knowing what the promised land is, where it was. But we also know from the New Testament, this might be a nice study for you coming up, that Christ said that Moses was going to rule with him as his return. Moses will be in that promised land. That promise is the promise that God made. He does not break promises. He keeps his promises. He will do, and he does do what he says he's going to do. It's been a, and we're all friends here, it's been a difficult time for some of us this Passover season, this pre-Passover season. And we look and we wonder sometimes those things that we go through, have we brought them on ourselves? Are we thinking about all the things that we need to change about ourselves? Does sometimes God bring things to our attention because we haven't rooted that out? So we have to experience it before we can actually root it out. You know, are we seeing that our priorities are right? Are we not putting things before other things so that we're being properly prepared for the Passover? I mean, I know that we can't prepare ourselves to perfection. That's not going to happen. But, you know, we need to be making that progress. We need to be chipping away at the things that we need to change about ourselves. You know, some of those things for us may have been directly involved with our family. There may be some issues with our family have shown themselves in our extended family. Or maybe it's our friends. Or maybe we've had some difficulties in figuring out things that we need to know about our friends so that we strengthen and we abide in the rules and laws that God gives us. Maybe it's our business or our employer. You know, are we making sure that, you know, I'm a business owner, I have to find that fine balance of things. I don't want to put my business before the things that are truly important. I don't want to put my employees in a position they don't belong in. I don't want the employees to put me in a position I don't belong in. We have decisions to make, but we all have to keep them in those guidelines so that we stay within the rules that God puts before us. Maybe it's our health. I was really hoping Tom and Gene would be here. I spoke with him this last week, and he sounded so good. They put his heart back into rhythm. I think everybody knows we've all been talking about it to one another. They put his heart back into rhythm, and I talked to him the night he came home, just shortly after he got there, and he immediately told me that he felt a difference and that he was going to drive to services today. Tom, he's going to drive. No stopping him. And I told him, I said, listen, I said, you know, you just had this done. Gwen and I can come get you. Oh, no. I'll be all right. I'll drive. Well, we all know Tom. He drives. 90 years old, he drives, but he's not here. So Tom's also wise, and he's an example for all of us. And in that wisdom, he has probably made the decision that, you know, maybe I can't drive. I can be here. I can listen to a message. I know everyone's praying for me, and he does know that. I assured him when I talked to him that we're all concerned and we're all praying for him. But, you know, we all go through health issues, and that can be an issue that puts up something between us and God this time of the year when we're working to change ourselves. And health is difficult. Health is something that we all, at some point in time, deal with. And one thing that we're all, I know each of us in here, has been, well, maybe not a trial as being the right word, but we're all mourning the death of Nancy Bieber. We went to the wake, and I had a chance to talk to Harold. And it's been tough on him, so we need to remember him in our prayers, because you know, he lost his mate. We know what it's like to lose a loved one. We know it's difficult. And Will, I understand. It's hard to talk about someone you care about. It is. I've been thinking a lot about him. I can't imagine losing your mate. It's difficult. So, brethren, I want you to know that we have those same promises that God gave Israel. Ours are, in a sense, through the Spirit, but they're still just as relative. They're still just as valid. They're still just as tangible as those promises that God gave to Israel. So let's always remember these promises, because we can always know and understand that He will.